Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And by Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, there was a pretty serious accident on the road last week involving an off-duty Superior police sergeant.
Yeah, that's right. A sergeant with the Superior Police Department was arrested last Friday after an off-duty crash that killed one man and left two other people injured, one of which, an infant, has since also died. Police say that the sergeant was drunk driving. Sergeant Greg Swanson is facing a felony charge of homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle, and the Superior Telegram reported that Swanson was driving when he struck a disabled sedan that had no lights on, according to the criminal complaint. And a man was killed, and a woman, an infant, and a two-year-old child were also in the car, and the infant has since died as a result of the crash. And a deputy with the Douglas County Sheriff's Office at the scene reported that Swanson's eyes were glossy and bloodshot, and that there was a strong odor of alcohol coming off of him. And it looks like more charges may be filed against Swanson. An initial appearance has been set in his case for later this month, and he has since been released on a $15,000 bond.
And the additional charges may include the death of the infant, I believe.
That's right.
Well, clearly a heartrending tragedy for the family. On an enlightening note in Superior, the city is moving a step closer to figuring out what to do with the old Carnegie Library, or at least who's going to own it.
That's right. The Superior City Council voted 7-3 on Tuesday to buy the Carnegie Library in Superior for $175,000. The building has sat vacant for roughly 30 years, and it's in need of repairs, including a new roof. And at the meeting on Tuesday, councilors approved the purchase from Andy Osterlund, who owns an architectural firm. And the decision on Tuesday also capped investment in the library at $325,000. And the city is also required to put it up for sale in about 18 months. And any funds used for improvements on the building would be coming from funding the city received under the American Rescue Plan Act. And if you remember, the city set aside around, I believe, $3.5 million for historic preservation as part of the money they received earlier this year. And, you know, the city is one of roughly 60 Wisconsin communities that receive grants from Andrew Carnegie to build public libraries. You know, Carnegie was a major philanthropist at the time. He donated a total of roughly $40 million to build close to 1,700 libraries across the country. And if I'm not mistaken, Superior's was the first Carnegie Library to be built in Wisconsin in 1901.
All right. Rick, on the Minnesota side, the state has some sobering numbers, if you will, on drug overdoses.
Yes, it does, Robin. Minnesota saw a record number of drug overdose deaths in 2021. And most of those fatalities were associated with the powerful synthetic opioid painkiller called fentanyl. With more than 1,286 overdose deaths, 2021 saw a 22% increase from 2020. That's according to the Minnesota Department of Health in a report that was released last week. Last year had twice as many deaths as the state saw 10 years ago, and numbers have climbed significantly since 2018 when there were just over 600. Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm called the trend alarming, but said there were steps the state can take, including expanding access to overdose-reversing medications. Often illicit drugs can be laced with fentanyl, and that's become more common in many street drugs over the past decade and has been attributed to a national surge in overdoses. The synthetic opioid painkiller is up to 50 times stronger than heroin, and a dose as small as 2 milligrams can be lethal in an adult. Now, while the 2021 deaths were in large part due to opioids, Minnesota saw large increases from 2020 for several stimulant drugs like cocaine and meth. The number of opioid deaths increased 35%, while cocaine deaths were up 85%. Meanwhile, the number of deaths from commonly prescribed anti-anxiety medications such as Xanax or Valium was down 19%.
All right. Well, on the economic front, there's a study looking at the impact of the Enbridge Line 3 project.
Yes, there is. Since the replacement of Enbridge's Line 3 pipeline began in 2017, there's been a significant increase in economic activity has been experienced across the region. And according to a study that was commissioned by the Area Partnership for Economic Expansion, during peak Line 3 construction in 2021, employment reached over 14,000 jobs. Enbridge reportedly contributed more than $1.7 billion in employee wages and benefits, over $2.2 billion in value-added spending, and generated more than $5 billion in new spending over the project's life. This study that was commissioned by APEX is a private sector-led business development engine for Northeast Minnesota and Northwest Wisconsin. The study did not take into account any social or environmental impacts of the project. Its purpose was to solely estimate the economic impacts of replacing three segments of Line 3. Nearly half of the project's construction laborers were residents of the 16-county project area. In addition to the construction laborers themselves, Enbridge employed engineers, right-of-way agents, environmental monitors, project managers, and construction supervisors. About 54% of those employed for the construction project were sourced from outside of the study area. Enbridge's Line 3 crude oil pipeline was originally installed in the 1960s to transport crude oil from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, to Superior, Wisconsin. It was put into service in 1968. And in the United States, the replacement project stretched through 14 miles of Wisconsin in August of 2017, 13 miles in North Dakota from August and September of 2020, and finally 337 miles in Minnesota in December 2020. The pipeline was put into service on October 1st, 2021. Opponents of the pipeline have long said it violates indigenous treaty rights, threatens to contaminate water with risk of oil spills, contributes to climate change because it strengthens reliance on fossil fuels and exposes communities next to the construction projects to human trafficking. The full study and overview can be found at apexgetsbusiness.com.
Okay. And finally, on a variety of fronts, the Downtown Task Force in Duluth has made a series of recommendations.
Yes. Earlier this week, in a news conference held at the recently renovated Lake Superior Plaza, the Downtown Task Force released its initial recommendations to revitalize downtown Duluth and promote public safety. Among the recommendations are a neighborhood watch program, better prosecution of petty crimes, and a fund to inspire public art projects. Further down the road, the city needs to look at repurposing vacant downtown office space for housing and conduct a study on how the central business district may look in 5 years. Mayor Emily Larson announced the 14-member task force in March, and the group has held a handful of meetings since then. Their work is expected to continue into September. The mayor said the city plans to work with the Duluth area YMCA and employment partners to staff the walking groups, which will serve as an extra set of eyes and ears along sidewalks and skywalks and peak times. Officials said they'd also like to encourage public art and entertainment projects. Co-chair Christy Stokes, president of the Downtown Duluth Greater Downtown Council, said her organization is looking to organize more entertainment opportunities. That includes Lake Superior Plaza, where the council is launching a Power Up the Plaza initiative that includes free coffee and music from 10 to 11 a.m. every Thursday through August. Stokes of the Downtown Council also will work with businesses to determine if there are opportunities to expand space for opportunities such as outdoor dining and busking, and work with city officials to ease any permitting challenges. Larson did note that downtown will likely never see a pre-pandemic level of office workers again as work-from-home policies become the norm, but there's always a need for more affordable housing.
All right. We've been speaking with Rick Lovers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And finally today, if you've noticed an explosion of concerts and musical performances, Rick just mentioned busking in downtown Duluth, it's probably not your imagination. It might be attributed to musicians finally getting out after the pandemic restrictions, especially at the summer venues in the area. That includes big names, even quirky ones like Weird Al Yankovic, who played at the Deck recently. And if you missed that, there's another accordionist, this one world-class and a bit more serious, but also fun. Michael Bridge will be appearing at the World of Accordions Museum and Arts Center in downtown Superior at 7 p.m. on Monday. Tickets are still available at worldofaccordions.org. And if you want to know just how good he is, here's his music to take us out. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.